You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. The time has now come upon us to welcome to the program our featured guest for tonight's live broadcast. It is a guest who was the centerpiece of our fourth quarter fundraising drive. If you donated at the appropriate levels in December, you will receive, most likely on Monday, they have all been mailed out of Memphis now, at long last. They are all on trucks and on their way to you, good people. You'll get them this week. The title of the book is Endangered Species, and its author is Reagan O'Carroll. And you'll get this book. You'll see that the fiery red hair she has no doubt matches her personality, and we're going to get a good wind of that right now. Reagan, welcome to the show. First time. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, the honor is all ours, as always. And so, yes, you know, I think people are really going to enjoy this book, and I thought the timing was perfect for you to come on because, first of all, you appearing with us obviously tonight on Saturday, people will be getting the book this coming week, and for those who didn't order them from us, we'll make sure they know how to do that before your interview is over. But you've written two books, both of which I have. The first we'll focus on was the one that we sent out to everybody this week, Endangered Species. And what I like about it is it's sort of a primer on some of the most important issues. You did such a good job of writing short, punchy chapters on about a dozen, I guess you'd say, of the biggest issues facing our people today. Kind of take us into what led you to write the book and kind of expand on what I'm the picture I'm trying to paint here.
Well, I appreciate you sending out the book to people. What caused me to write both books really was watching over the last 20 plus odd years how our people have just been maligned and maliciously downtrodden in the media and the academia and by churches, and how people are starting to believe this. You talk to people on the street, you talk to people at work, wherever you go, and they believe that they're guilty because they're white. They're guilty of crimes against people of color, and they're guilty of all the ills practically in the world. And the only way we're going to turn around that self-loathing that has been heaped upon whites for generations now is if they understand that they are not guilty, that there's a lot to be proud of as white people, that we have caused a lot of wonderful things to happen in our history, and it's time for us to understand that and recognize that. So I wanted them to know they're not guilty. They should be proud.
Reagan, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you to kind of expand upon that point. Break down the self-loathing. Is this a widespread phenomenon in all age groups? Is it something that is more prominent among younger whites than older whites? Is it something more prominent in blue state America than red state America? What do you think?
Well, I think I've lived in a lot of different areas. I've lived in the South. I've lived in the West. I've lived in the plain states, and you see it across all age groups and across, from rich to poor, and not everybody, that's for sure. There is an under group ground of people who are sick and tired of this, but you'll find it whether you go to church or whether you're in the grocery store. You know, there's an article in a paper here in a Midwestern paper today that we saw where a teacher was painting her students' hands different shades of brown, letting them know that, you know what, we're all the same color. We all start out at some shade of brown. It's just a matter of how light or how dark that brown is. And it's getting people to think that, you know what, I'm just not any different than anybody else, and to not acknowledge their own history and heritage and culture and how wonderful it has been over the centuries.
And it's been good for all of mankind. It's been good for every race of people, the genius, the exploration,
right.
the scientific advancement, and the technological achievements of European mankind, Western
right.
man.
Europeans
has
did
been...
not create and then hog for themselves. You know, everybody has medical technology and air conditioning and cell phones and everything else we think we can't live without nowadays. It's been shared with the whole world. It wasn't hogged by the European people.
No, that's right. I mean, that's exactly, and as we always say, we've heard the grievances. What about the gratitude for all we've given, which so far outweighs, which so deeply tips the scales, you know, with the good we've done versus...
Well, we're the only people that have done it, by the way.
And we're the only people that have done it, and we are not the only people to have ever practiced slavery. You know, that's the big gripe about whites is that, oh, my God, we held slaves.
That's
well, everybody
right.
did. That was the way of the world. White people stopped it, you know, but no credit's ever given for that. I mean, it's just madness. But you've written these books, and it's written in such a way, it's just common sense. It's great. And it's certainly very well written and would pass the muster being read by any scholar or academic, but it's also written in such a way that you can give it to somebody who's never really thought about the issues that you write about or that we speak about, and it would have the potential to resonate with them. Now, the complete title of your book is Endangered Species, White Guilt Equals White Extinction. Now, that's another thing. When you say that one day our people could become extinct, people say, oh, that'll never happen. That's just a racist talk. That's, nonsense. Well, you know, people said that about the Titanic sinking until it hit the iceberg.
Exactly.
But we still have enough time to turn if we begin to think racially conscious thoughts and healthy thoughts right now. Because here's the thing. The white birth rate is below replacement level fertility, if I'm not mistaken, in all white countries except for Russia, where it's barely above replacement level fertility. So if you extrapolate that for another few generations or another few centuries, you will become extinct. The numbers can't lie, right, Reagan?
That's right. And scientists even say once production levels get below a certain number, which whites are below that number, Europeans are below that number right now, that it's almost impossible without massive increase in birth rates for a group of people to be saved, more or less. You know, look at the California condor and how they started with just a handful, but they had to work for decades. They worked to save that bird, and there's still only a few dozen breeding ones. Yet whites are at that same level. If you think about it, massively throughout the world, the Asians, the Africans. The Muslim nations are so full of people, and we are becoming such a small minority in the world. We're like the African condor. If we aren't meticulously and carefully preserved, we will be lost, and it won't be that long when you think about it. Whites are becoming minorities in their own countries. So it won't be that long if we don't do something and do something fast. And what we have to do is we have to instill in people with European heritage a pride in themselves again. We have to help them understand
Amen.
Their heritage is just as important as anybody else's heritage. Everybody deserves to have a heritage, and everybody's heritage is worth saving, and white people are the only ones who don't believe that about themselves right now.
Well, Reagan, this is Keith Alexander again. We do have a picture of what the end game will be like. We'll touch on that. It's after these words from our sponsors.
And before we go to those words, I want to tell everyone that her website is SaveYourHeritage.com. SaveYourHeritage.com. There you can buy the book and learn more about her and what motivates her. Reagan O'Carroll, our guest right now, SaveYourHeritage.com. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
In addition to thepoliticalcesspool.org, of course, there are two websites you should keep in mind tonight. The first of which being SaveYourHeritage.com. That is the website for our guest this evening, Reagan O'Carroll. There you can find the cover art of her book, White Extinction, or rather Endangered Species, White Guilt Leads to White Extinction. And you can purchase it there. There's a link to that. And a lot of more information about the work of Reagan O'Carroll, SaveYourHeritage.com. Also, CFCC.org to join our online chat and virtual fan party, which is in full swing right now, Keith.
Yes, I said right before the break that we do have a snapshot of what the end will look like if white guilt and white birth rates continue as they are now. And that would be the plight of whites in Zimbabwe and South Africa today. It's like, see, we've got situations like in integrated schools in places like Memphis, where things were fine, basically in an integrated setting, until the number of whites dropped below a critical mass, like, let's say, when the blacks were over 40% of the student body. I think when non-whites are over 40% of the population of a nation, we'll see a similar turning to a very much more pernicious type of racial relationship than we would see otherwise. People that don't live close to this type of situation, if you lived in Portland, Oregon, for example, rather than in Memphis, Tennessee, you would have a totally unrealistic picture in your mind of what racial integration and racial extinction will look like. If you live in Memphis, you're in the eye of the tiger here. You do not find people that are not race realists in a place like Memphis. In places like Minnesota, where I was born in a town and in a county in which, when I was born, there was one, not two, but one black person in the entire county. But of course, everybody that lived there was an instinctive expert on race relations that used to lecture my father as a Southerner about how badly white Southerners treated black people. And my father used to shake his head. He said, it's like people that live in the desert presuming to tell people that live in the jungle about jungle survival strategies.
Well, Reagan, with that being said, what Keith mentioned before, that brief departure to his life in Minnesota, which is still good content, talking about the danger that we are in, the fight for our lives, the fight for our very survival of our people, of our culture, of our way of life. These are some of the things you address in the book. I want to get back to it very quickly. Again, the book is...
And by the way, let me say this. Reagan, we really need people like you to come out here and educate the people of Portland, Oregon, or Minnesota, or wherever, about what fire they're playing with.
Well, and she's trying to. Endangered species. White guilt equals white extinction. Tell us a little bit more. Give us a small glimpse, Reagan, if you can, into some of the chapters and some of the topics that you tackle in this book that you think the audience should be made aware of. What parts
Certainly.
Of the book, I'm sure they were all important to you, but what was the most important parts?
Well, one of them you touched on was slavery. You know, it's real important to understand that whites were enslaved long before blacks were in the New World, and that much of this country was built on the back of white Irish slavery, and that a lot of blacks owned slaves, and that slavery was not just white on black, that it was black on white, Indian on black, and so on and so forth. And that's a huge one for me. It's also important that white guilt has caused affirmative action and welfare and unreported crime and disproportionate educational dollars being spent, because we are convinced as white people that we're guilty of slavery, guilty of trotting down the darker races, guilty of not allowing them to be fully who they are. And so we have legislated ourselves practically out of existence with some of these programs that is supposed to make everybody equal and just causes problems instead. And so there's chapters on all of that in the book. The huge one is education, and especially in my first book, Our Sacred Cow History, I go into a lot on how integration has destroyed education for all races. Not just for whites, but how blacks have suffered greatly because of integration when it comes to education. So those are some of the big ones.
Well, affirmative action, for example, let me just say this, is necessary for the left, because if you just have a meritocracy, black people are going to remain more or less at the bottom of the pile based on, you know, objective measures like, let's say, SAT scores or ACT scores. So consequently... They can't. I remember living through the Civil Rights Movement. It was sold to America on the assumption that we were going to end racial discrimination, not that we were going to replace one type of racial discrimination with another, but that's exactly what's happened.
And what's happened is nobody benefits. Whites don't benefit. Blacks don't benefit, at least not as a collective whole, because when you look from, let's say, 1960 on, blacks have lost ground when it comes to their family, their education, getting ahead in society. They're a huge underclass now, disproportionately, in my opinion, than what they used to be because of all these programs that we've tried to force on them. They've lost their community, their sense of community, because they're shoved into white schools, shoved into white communities, and so they've lost their core because of all this. It's not done them any better good. I'm not phrasing it right, but it's done them no good, just like us.
Well, you're exactly right, and a lot of people in the CFCC chat room right now are taking a look at your page, commenting on the cover in very good ways, and we're excited to be bringing this. This is what this show, you know, when I founded this show 10 years ago, this is the interview that I had in mind, you know, to bring people to a mass audience that otherwise would be shut out by the establishment press. This is an honor. Reagan, I know we asked you to stay on for just two segments this evening. Would there be any way we could extend it to one more segment? Because I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the Sacred Cow history, if we could.
Sure, no problem.
All right, and we're not quite on the break yet, but I should make mention that I am a little remiss in my duties as host tonight. I should have a copy of endangered species right here at my fingertips. But what happened was we had a guy just a few days ago ask for a copy. He sent in a contribution late, and I sent him mine. So we fulfilled all the 50 orders plus one.
More selflessness on James's part.
Well, that's absolutely right. What can I say? But I do have Sacred Cow history here in the studio tonight. We'll mention that.
Reagan, let me say one thing. You know, the whole problem is liberalism. You know, things like the sexual revolution and the drug culture are just as much a part of the liberal triumph as the civil rights movement. And, for example, you're talking about the decline in black community generally. You can trace it through illegitimacy rates. In 1950, the black illegitimacy rate in America was 22%. The white illegitimacy rate was 1.5%. There is a great deal of shame and economic hardship involved with having a child out of wedlock. Now, if you dare to have anything negative to say about illegitimate birth, you're a hater. The black community's rate is 72%. The white community has gone up to 25%, higher than the black rate in 1950. Basically, liberalism has debased American life generally, and no community has suffered more from liberalism than the black community.
Absolutely. Yep.
And I would say
it's not just liberalism, because I see a lot of our Republican brothers and sisters guilty of some of this. You know, they've fallen on the politically correct bandwagon also, and you know, they wouldn't dare nowadays do anything politically that would promote their own heritage and history anymore. So, you know, a lot of them are guilty also.
SaveYourHeritage.com, folks. That's the website. You can go and buy Endangered Species, White Guilt Equals White Extinction, written by our featured guest this evening, Reagan O'Carroll, who we're going to keep for one more segment after the break to talk about her first book, Our Sacred Cow History. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina,
Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, for one more segment we have, and we were just now at the halfway point in tonight's live broadcast, if you can believe it. Still a half of the show to go. But one more segment with our featured guest of the evening, Regan O'Carroll, author of the book Endangered Species, White Guilt Equals White Extinction. It can be purchased at SaveYourHeritage.com via Amazon. And she's also written the book, her first book, Our Sacred Cow History, How the Battle for Our Heritage and Culture Has Turned into a War for the Very Survival of Our People. And before we start talking about that book, Regan, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, during the last commercial break, he's waiting to come on and join us during the third hour.
On deck, sir.
The interview. And he said he's going to take these books and put them into the library at his church, and we're looking forward to that. But he also wanted me to ask you, what led you to write these books? Because, see, I comment on here quite often. You know, certainly it's not as numerous and aplenty as it used to be, but I still think, fundamentally speaking, in their heart of hearts and in the honesty of the confines of their own homes, most Americans agree with us fundamentally, even on these so-called taboo issues. But what caused you to take it from just a silent belief in what was right and what was obvious to putting pen to paper and putting forth an effort on behalf of what you believe?
Probably frustration that there's not that much out there. There are resources out there, but not that much out there that the average person could pick up and read and understand. I tried to make the books in such an understandable way that you really don't even have to have a high school education to understand them. It's not full of academic words and language. It's just basic common sense. And I wanted people to be able to read it and understand it, not sit there and wonder what the phrases meant. And also, I have the website, like you said, and I actually had somebody who wrote in on the website and asked me, do you have a book? And I thought, well, you know what, that's not a bad idea. So that's what Our Sacred Cow History then became. It started out as a much smaller book and ended up being quite detailed. It's got over 900 sources, so I heavily sourced the book so nobody could say I didn't know what I was talking about. But that's probably what started it, was just wanting people to have information that they can understand and pass on.
Well, you did such a great job on both of the titles, and they come with my heartiest endorsement. And I should mention, and speaking of the sources that you cite, I had the honor of being mentioned in both of these books. So I don't know if that kind of defaces it.
Well, every book has its weakness, James. No, this is a great resource, actually. It really is, and I would recommend it to anyone.
Well, and I want to commend you. Go ahead, Regan.
Well, I was just going to say, it was easy to use your book because, you know, being called a racist today is probably the most scary thing for a white person. You know, they will do anything not considered racist because, you know, people will hate you. They will think you're awful. I mean, and it's just ridiculous what little amount can be used to throw out that word. You know, my daughter comes home from school, and if they talk about something black, you're racist, and she just looks at us like these people are stupid. But, you know, racism, it's so plain. You know, are you really kidding me? Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say it's really written in the spirit of Endangered Species because it's just to the point. It's something that everybody can digest, but it's still not something that's amateurish. You know, it's something that even academics could wrap their mind around. But it's funny what you say about your daughter. I said this to my – I went to the dentist a couple of days ago, and they were going to put this fluoride treatment on my teeth. And I asked if it was safe, and I said, because as you know, everything in the world today is either one of two things. It either is racist or it causes cancer. And that's almost the truth. I mean, that's, you know, whatever you read about, yeah, is either racist or
cancer. And cancer is preferable, probably.
Right, yeah. Yeah, people, exactly. White people would rather have cancer than be called, yeah, a racist. And, of course, we know what racist is. I mean, it's just anybody who is white. And it doesn't matter what you believe. That's what they're going to see you as. So you might as well be proud of who you are, and there's nothing wrong with that. Our sacred cow history, though, Reagan, very quickly. Again, folks, SaveYourHeritage.com. I'm seeing a lot of people in the CFCC chat saying they're going to buy these books. Walk us through our sacred cow history. It's a lot longer of a read than Endangered Species. So I should have probably given this a little more time, but break it down as quickly as you can.
As quickly as I can. It actually starts out with colonial history and the truth about that history and how they started out and how slavery got started. I do talk a lot about slavery because I do think it is important that people understand that black slavery did not start because white people were racist. It started because they were tired of having white slaves run away and not be able to get to be able to find them because they were the same color. And, you know, that's not what started it, and I go into it, but black slavery was not what we are led to believe. And then it really goes into in depth about our white heritage being eroded, integration, back again. Also, there's the chapter on education is a lot bigger. And then there's a huge section on what the Bible says about race, interracial mixing, because I believe that Christian clergy have really, really fallen short. They're dumb dogs who don't bark. There's a chapter called that, and how Christianity has failed people, miserably failed people, in convincing them that we are all of one blood. And so the book completely debunks that and proves how the Word of God does not advocate race mixing at all, and how each race should be uniquely kept to their own. And then it talks about how the builders of civilization throughout the millennia have been white people, and how some of those civilizations fell because of interracial mixing, like Egypt and Rome and Greece. And there's information on the colonial laws and race mixing, implications of race mixing. For instance, if you're going to have a blood transfusion, you better get it of the same type of blood, and you're much more likely to be successful if it's from the same ethnic background, and they don't tell you that nowadays. So just a lot of variety in it.
Well, Reagan, let me make this comment. This is Keith Alexander again. I think you've really hit on something there. I think that the primary religion in most churches today is liberalism rather than Christianity. They like you say, they ignore whole swaths of Holy Scripture that just do not get mentioned, because they're politically incorrect. And I've
and
never
if you
seen
bring it up and talk to them about it, then you're considered a racist. My husband and I were disfellowshipped from a church because we would not be silent on these issues, because we had a minister who kept bringing them in, and we would not be silent, and we were kicked out of that church.
Yeah, you know what, but that's apostasy, and that is not in line with what I believe to be biblical doctrine. We had a great presentation at our 10-year anniversary party by Nathaniel Strickland of faithandheritage.com. Faithandheritage.com, and he goes into great detail with scripture verses and the opinions of major theologians, obviously not of this degenerate
era,
day and age, era.
Yeah.
But it goes in line to say that, you know, our beliefs on racial integrity and Christianity are not at all at odds.
No, it's not. And our beliefs in racial integrity also do not mean it's not a superiority belief. It's a
absolutely
unique. And that's something else that both of these books talk about. You know what? Loving your race as a white person, loving your heritage, your culture, your history, does not mean you have a superiority complex. It means you love your people, just like blacks can love their people and not have a superiority complex.
And as you mentioned,
Asians,
Right. And loving our people does not mean that we hate other ethnic groups, because certainly we do not at all, and nor do we want to lord over them or reign supreme. We want to no one can be us but us. We want to be different. We want to live in societies where we can respect and appreciate and uphold our cultural heritage, and we wish that other peoples could do that as well, without our interference and without their interference.
Exactly. Both books go into depth on what a blessing the European people have been to the world. And if we are not preserved as a people, we will not be able to be that blessing to the world anymore. When the earthquake happened in Haiti, what country spent the most money and the most resources helping those people? When the tsunami happened over in Indonesia, which countries came in and spent the most money and the most resources to help out? If the white nations of the world are decimated by interracial mixing and mass immigration, we will not be around anymore to be a blessing to the world.
Well, what I've said, Reagan, is this, that we're like the swallows that come to Capistrano every year. We're harbingers of springtime, of growth, of warmth and good times coming to the entire world. In fact, you know, if other races understood what you've just said and took it to heart, we would be hothouse flowers that were protected and nurtured rather than tormented.
Reagan, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. Folks, check out her books, Endangered Species and Our Sacred Cow History, SaveYourHeritage.com. Reagan O'Carroll, everybody. Thank you, ma'am.
And come back. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're back, and what a great interview. Reagan O'Carroll, the voice of femininity on the political cesspool this evening. Two great books, as we mentioned, Endangered Species and Our Sacred Cow History, SaveYourHeritage.com. She's the toast of the political cesspool's online chat tonight at cfcc.org. Eddie enjoyed that interview when he was not getting coffee. Eddie got a lot of coffee during that interview. Eddie likes his coffee, as we found out, like he likes his women. He likes it bitter and murky.
And basically, what Eddie is does not limit himself to coffee for liquid refreshment. So,
hey, listen, Eddie's the bombardier. You know, you can't contain him. You just hope to survive his path of destruction.
He's like a hurricane.
All right, let me look at my notes.
When I was listening to Reagan talking about her travails with her church, I said, I thought to myself, if she has about 3 hours of spare time sometimes, she needs to talk to Eddie about his travails with his church.
That's right. Yeah, you and Reagan would have something in common. She got defrocked, I guess you would say.
No, she got
discommunicated,
excommunicated, or unfellowshipped, or whatever it is.
Unfellowshipped is, I believe, what she said.
Of course, that's a weekly occurrence with Eddie, but he keeps like a yo-yo, he keeps coming back.
All right. Well, let's see here. Bob Whitaker's back in the news. Bob Whitaker, one of our original guests. Back in 2004, 2005, he was a former Reagan administration appointee, not the Reagan we had on, but the Ronald Reagan. And he's done a lot of good work for our people, and they put up some billboards about white genocide and what Reagan's talking about. Bob Whitaker has put up, and he wrote a great endorsement for our show back in 2005, which is still featured on our website, and it's good to see him. He was interviewed by a local affiliate station in Birmingham, Alabama, this week. The article, we won't go into all of that, but the details of that story can be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith, we were talking about this. Shepard Smith of the conservative Fox News, the conservative Shepard Smith.
A great exemplar of conservatism, Shepard Smith.
Right. Well, he went to your alma mater, Ole Miss.
Well, I went to Ole Miss Law School now.
So, okay, all right.
I don't think he went there.
But that's a little different. But anyway, he was talking about how 36 states now have legalized or in some other way sanctioned sodomite marriage. Even he, he's probably homosexual himself if anyone's ever watched him, but he even uses this term, as Fox does, as everyone does, gay marriage. And to have that word hijacked, I hate anything, it's not people of different races, it's that different words have been perverted in our discourse now, and gay doesn't mean happy anymore, which is the technical definition. It means a sodomite. How did that happen? But anyway, so gay marriage, sodomite marriage, has been legalized now in some shape, form, or fashion in 36 states. There's only 14 states in which it is still banned. I am thankful to say that Tennessee will be one of the last to fall. Tennessee is one of the 14 other southern
states. Mississippi is another, which is Shepard Smith's
Mississippi,
home state.
Mississippi, Kentucky, there's some other. It's going before the Supreme Court, so we'll see. You know, all these years, they voted for Bush instead of Buchanan so they could appoint conservative Supreme Court justices. Well, this is a conservative court, they say, 5-4. They should outlaw gay marriage, right? Well, we'll find out. Don't hold your breath. Here's the thing, Keith, and we talked about this at Bozo's when we went to the barbecue dinner with my daughter on Thursday night. Shepard Smith was pointing out the fact that, wouldn't you just know it, that the 14 states that still haven't legalized, quote-unquote, gay marriage are the same 14 states that didn't want to legalize segregation.
Well, you know what? There were 13 states in the Confederacy, and I imagine that those 13 states are among the ones that are still cleaving to the old path when it comes to marriage and the definition of marriage. So consequently, all this shows to me is, one, no, it doesn't mean that we're not progressive. What it means is that secession really should have happened. There is a different spirit, a different ethos, a different set of folkways in red state America. And Red State America goes far beyond the old Confederacy. It includes the Interior West. Why? Because the Interior West was settled for the most part by Southerners, refugees from the harshness of Reconstruction that was being visited upon Southerners, ex-Confederates, in the old ex-Confederacy in the aftermath of the Civil War until 1877. That's why the Posse Comitatus Act was passed. Once the Southerners got re-enfranchised and white Southerners began to serve in our Congress and in our Senate once again with the end of Reconstruction, one of the first things they did was pass the Posse Comitatus Act to assure that never again would United States military troops be used as a police force against American citizens. Of course, that's exactly what happened in the Civil Rights Movement at places like Little Rock and Oxford, Mississippi with integration. But that's why the Posse Comitatus Act was passed. Basically, the Interior West, that's why it was settled by its Confederates. That's why all the cowboys in old movies spoke with Southern accents. I've heard the West described before as the South without a race problem.
Well, here's the thing. All of these states, even the Western and New England, Art Frith, the Lord of the Board in the CFCC chat room tonight, even Michigan, I say even Michigan, but it just goes to show that across the country, with the exception of maybe Massachusetts, I think all of them have voted against it overwhelmingly so. You know, what really should happen is that the states should tell the Supreme Court to go straight to hell. You know, the governors and the legislatures of the state should say, we're not going to allow it in our state, by God, and come make us do it.
Well, that's the power of judicial review, which was unleashed like a hellish fury upon the American people in the Brown versus Board of Education decision that was handed down on Black Monday, May the 17th, 1954. That doctrine has no constitutional basis. There is no basis for saying that the judiciary, the least democratic of all of the three branches of the American government, should have the final say on what's constitutional and what's not.
At the end of the day, the American people, as we all know, have no power. The state legislatures have no power. Senators and congressmen really don't have that much power. Governors have no power. Even the president. At the end of the day, the ultimate power in the United States of America resides in the Supreme Court, the only people who are unelected.
In fact, on the Warren Court that finally decided the Supreme Court, Brown versus Board of Education decision, Justice Stanley Reed said that what this decision will do is establish a critarchy, an oligarchy of judges that rule America. What a prophetic, what an insightful man Justice Reed was.
Let's go to Eddie's got a comment really quick about the black robe tyrants, as they were.
All right, listen. The Supreme Court, when it was set up, was the least powerful branch of government. But Thomas Jefferson said that. They basically, and Thomas Jefferson. And, you know, they basically said the Supreme Court's kind of like a window fixture. They can give their opinion, but the states don't have to obey it. Secondly, any state that has the courage could nullify any illegal, federal dictate under Article 10 of the Constitution. All they have to do is say, we're not going along with this. It's unconstitutional. It's dead on arrival. You know, that's what. But we don't have state legislatures with the guts to do that.
Well, and
whether or not they're ignorant, I do not know. But it's really the power in this country here. It's not the Supreme Court. It's not the president. It's not the Congress. It's the fourth branch of government. It's we the people. And until we the people get the cojones and get educated. I despise that word education because we should all know that anyway. But until we the people get the courage to stand up and resist this tyranny, don't go around blaming the Supreme Court. They have no power. Don't blame your elected legislatures. They have no power. You can kick them out. And there was an amendment that at one time the state legislatures appointed the United States senators. That's one of the reasons that they took that power away from the state legislature. That was one of the last powers that the states had. Now, we need to get back to electing our state legislatures, but the number one thing we need to do is, like I'm going to say this again, we the people need to start getting on our hind legs in enforcing this.
Well, Andrew Jackson said it, one of the great Tennesseans. The Supreme Court has made its decision, let them enforce it, and we need people of that caliber
that's
now.
That's what the presidents of the United States typically did throughout the history of America up until the Brown decision. Jefferson ignored Madison versus Marbury decision, the Supreme Court trying to make itself the final arbiter of what was constitutional and what was not. Andrew Jackson on the Indian Removal Act, which was termed to be unconstitutional. He said, just like Eddie said, Mr. Marshall has made his decision. He was the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court at the time. Now let him enforce it. Even Abraham Lincoln in State X Rel Milligan ignored Roger Taney and a Supreme Court decision that said that he had violated habeas corpus. So consequently, this was new, and it was masterminded, the Brown decision, by the one Jew that was on the Supreme Court at the time, Felix Frankfurt. If you want to read in more depth about just exactly how this was accomplished, you need to read Paul Craig Roberts' excellent book, The New Color Line.
All right, folks, we're taking a break. When we come back, it's Eddie and All Eddie in the third hour. He's taking over for Keith Alexander, and he's got a lot to say, and we're going to let him say it all and then some. And I want to thank Keith for his service tonight. Great contributions tonight, as always. Third hour still forthcoming, folks, and here we go right after this.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.